priest. But there must also, if this is your thought, be no criminal reprisal.
Amen.
After 3 days of negotiations, Dad watched as armed troops amassed outside the prison gates. He and the other observers asked for more time and pleaded for Governor Rockefeller to come speak to the prisoners.
Wait just a minute. Off to the side here, if you will, please. Or behind the ropes. Over behind the ropes. Behind the ropes, gentlemen.
And when the inmates' mediator, William Kunstler, was turned away at the prison gate, he took that as a sign that the attack was imminent, that his 2 days of work to end this uprising peacefully had failed.
What did the guard tell you?
He said he had just received orders that no one but uniformed personnel would be permitted in.
Why do you think that they're not letting you in, Mr. Counselor?
I think they're killing people.
5 a.m. September 13th. We're on the roof of A Block, waiting for the assault to begin. This is a team of 270 rifle shooters.
Your instructions are that your weapon is not to be taken, nor are you to be taken. You're to meet force with force. There have been some of the prison personnel severely injured here this morning, and we certainly don't want to see any of our people hurt.
Started shooting. It was like all hell broke loose. And the shooting just seemed to go on and on and on and on, and bullets were hitting all around, and you could hear people crying, and you could hear people dying. And it was just like they indiscriminately shot everyone.
I smelled gas, some sort of tear gas. And I heard the sounds of shooting. And I knew that people were being murdered inside there. And I began to cry.
Good evening. The four-day insurrection at New York's Attica State Prison came to a tragic end this morning. Negotiations gave way to force, making this the bloodiest prison incident the country has seen in four decades.
All right, there you go. We didn't play the full clip. You can get the full clip and the entire two-hour documentary, Disturbing Universe. There's so much in it. There's so much. Along with Kunstler at Caroline. Called The Coming War on China. I'm Randy Credico. This is Randy Credico Live on the Fly with a very special program being joined now by Dennis Bernstein, my co-host today of KPFA's Flashpoints. Dennis, well, your thoughts?
You know, my thoughts, let me come in through the journalism door. Obviously, you have the journalist. How did he describe it? Very beautiful, neutral sentence. Negotiation gave way to force. Nobody did anything. Nobody ordered it, and William Kunstler cried. Negotiation gave way to force. We all cried because that's that the recording, the coverage that BAI did of that slaughter was so moving. I believe the producer, the broadcaster was Dolores Costello, and you could hear her breaking down as the slaughter began. That's what WBAI, that's the difference. You hear the dying. Usually what we try and do is take it to the gate, to the front yard, to the crossroads of suffering, and open up the microphone. That's the difference between us and Mr. Negotiation gave way to force. No blood, no nothing. The number is 212. What the hell is the number, Randy?
212-209. 209-2950, 212-209-2950. And you can just go to give2wbai.org if you want to have this kind of programming and the kind of programming, as you said, I remember I heard that on Voices That Changed the World, that wonderful report that took place back on the 13th of September, 1971, here at WBAI. That's what we offer here, folks. If you want to hear the same bland, vanilla kind of reporting that you heard there by one of the major newscasters, news readers, then just turn it on, Ari Melber, you'll get five.
And by the way, Rockefeller, he could have said, the governor ordered the police in, and so they went forward because it came from the governor.
The
right?
governor, absolutely. The state troopers all came in because of Governor Rockefeller, who was in bed with that 17-year-old girlfriend of his and had a heart attack a few years later after he passed the Rockefeller drug laws and after he tore down Diego Rivera's mural at Rockefeller Center. Dennis, it is important. This station's survival is important. I think that so far we still have almost another hour to go. We're going to get to John Pilger's documentary. We're also going to bring Steve Donziger on, the heroic attorney for indigenous people in Ecuador, who spent, I think, 3 years under house arrest by a corporate-financed prosecution here in New York City. He's a big supporter of WBAI. We're going to get him on very shortly. But what I want to do is go back. You mentioned, Dennis, I think you have it there, the Kunstler Germany. There was a time, you mentioned Kent State, and you and I think interviewed Laurel Krauss, the sister of Allison Krauss. Bill Kunstler was the first attorney down, the first person there, and he started raising money. He started raising money for the National Lawyers Guild defense fund for those who were charged at Kent State, the students who were charged, not the four officers or the people that killed the four students, but not the National Guard, not Nixon, not Governor Rhodes, but those who were there, the students. And so Bill Kunstler shows up, and I play this because – you know, this was at a time where at the Vietnam War, Fred Hampton had been murdered. There were a lot of things going on. This was 1970. It was 1970. Yeah. So it was even before our good friend there, Daniel Ellsberg, made his revelations. But there was a lot of things happening in this country. And Bill Kunstler came out there. He knew things were really coming to a major boil. And he had this warning to those there at Kent State. Now, listen to this. This is Bill Kunstler arriving at Kent State.
Error that the German people made was they couldn't recognize the threat of boots until the boots were outside the door. They couldn't recognize that in a matter of months, a country that produced Beethoven and Liszt and Schumann and Goethe would be on the trail of making lampshades out of human skin. That a year after Hitler's accession, there would be a place known as Dachau. And 4 years later, Buchenwald and then Treblinka, Auschwitz and all the rest. That 22 million people would eventually die because people could not get together when there was time to get together. You've got to be one. I just can't stand anymore the idea that we can't be one when we're attacked. And I don't give a damn what you are, whether you're a weatherman or ACLU. The point is, when oppression starts fighting at those who are the most vulnerable, it never stops until it chews up the middle. And I hope the middle recognizes that. Because the occupants of concentration camps were not just the communists before it ended. And that's what could happen. Anywhere.
Did you hear that before, Dennis?
Yeah.
That's powerful, huh?
Oh my God! And is it timely?
Yes.
Where are we?
We're divided. We're divided. We're divided into a bunch of like a jigsaw puzzle. You know what I mean? We need to be unified because there's a major front against all of us, all of us. And so we need to unify. And right now, we need this station. We need this station. Whether you like this program or that program, you need this station right now. This is it. This is a ham radio during the Spanish Civil War. It's that important. It is that important, this station, as it is KPFA and KPFK and the two others, that W something and the K in the...
You know, Randy, yeah. You know, when I was checking my phone as I was listening to Bill, and I checked some social media, and I got a couple of hits from people who, you know, used to listen to us breaking the Iran-Contra scandal. They're listening now, and they're talking about how important the radio station is. Of course, they're reminding us that we've lost now these three extraordinary BAI people, you know, Bob Fass, Steve Post, Larry Josephson, and everybody knows, anybody listening to this station knows that this station was in the forefront, in the history, on the cutting edge again. We talk about it as an electronic leaflet. So many times, one part of the community is using WBAI to organize another part of the community. It is a very special kind of electronic leaflet, besides being an invisible university in the airwaves. Come on, folks. Stand up for Bill Kunstler. 212-209-295. I know the number now. 2950. I'm saying it slow because I want people to write it down. 212-209-2950. Call that number. Let's have a revolution at the roots. A grassroots revolution for free speech, non-corporate, no holes barred, truth to power radio.
All right,
212-209-2950.
All right.
Go, Randy.
All right, so we're going to play. We got Steve Donziger on, thank goodness. We loved Steve Donziger. And I'm going to play this because I know he tweets this out a lot now. This is, we play Kunstler at the Chicago 7, at the Chicago trial. But this is after the Chicago trial. Bill Kunstler, listen to this, Bill, Dennis. I know you've heard it before, but maybe not in a while. But this is at the end of the documentary called Disturbing the Universe. And this is called Legal. This is Bill Kunstler afterwards, and we'll be back right afterwards with Steve Donziger.
And that's the terrible myth of organized society, that everything that's done through the established system is legal. And that word has a powerful psychological impact. It makes people believe that there is an order to life and an order to a system, and that a person that goes through this order and is convicted has gotten all that is due him. And therefore, society can turn its conscience off and look to other things and other times. And that's the terrible thing about these past trials, is that they have this aura of legitimacy, this aura of legality. I suspect that better men than the world has known, and more of them, have gone to their death through a legal system than through all the illegalities in the history of man. 6 million people in Europe during the Third Reich, legal. Sacco Vanzetti, quite legal. The Haymarket defendants, legal. The hundreds of rape trials throughout the South, where black men were condemned to death, all legal. Jesus, legal. Socrates, legal. And that is the kaleidoscopic nature of what we live through here and in other places. Because all tyrants learn that it is far better to do this thing through some semblance of legality than to do it without that pretense.
All right, that's Bill Kunstler. Joining us now is someone who has gone through one of these show trials and tried to make it look like he got all his due, this Kafka-esque trial by one judge and no jury and all financed by Chevron is the great heroic human rights, civil rights and environmental rights attorney, Steve Donziger. And Steve, I know you've heard that before. We're playing it today because we are having a fundraiser and it's from the documentary Disturbing the Universe. Your thoughts, Steve?
Well, thank you, Randy, for that kind introduction. I mean, I just want to say that what Bill Kunstler said in that speech just deeply resonates with me. I think it encapsulates a real problem in our society in that our judiciary is, for the most part, been overtaken by corporate money and a pro-corporate philosophy. The rule of law in America has been seriously eroded in recent years, and what happened to me is one of many examples of that, maybe an extreme one. I was prosecuted, I'm the first person in American history to be prosecuted by a private corporation in the name of the U.S. government. Chevron law firm prosecuted me after the U.S. attorney refused to, based on a contempt charge that I believe was bogus, filed by a judge who had financial investments in Chevron. And this happened right here in New York, and it's been almost completely ignored by most of the big media. And, you know, but there is a legal judgment against me, apropos to what Bill Kunstler said in that speech, by a single judge in a trial without a jury, where Chevron paid a witness $2 million to get up there and claim I obtained or helped indigenous people in Ecuador obtain the judgment by fraud, which is completely false and has been rejected by 28 other judges, appellate judges in Ecuador and Canada. But, you know, the larger issue is just because a court rules that something is legal doesn't mean it really is legal by any objective measure of the rule of law. And we're seeing this more and more in America right now with this recent spate of decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe and, you know, basically disabling our government from addressing the climate crisis and, you know, a whole host of other decisions as well. So, you know, I think what Bill Kunstler said many years ago is more relevant today than even then. And we need to wake up.
Right.
And really understand that when just because a court rules a certain way doesn't make it right, and it doesn't really make it even legal, even though technically I guess it is legal.
Right.
It doesn't mean we have to just absorb it as it being right just because it's legal. People need to understand that. I need to be critical of these decisions.
Steve Donziger, you mentioned that the major media avoided your situation, but not WBAI. This station has been there for you. How important is WBAI, you think, right now? And what would it, what would be the implications, the consequences of BAI no longer existing on the air?
Well, first of all, WBAI serves a critically important function in, you know, New York City and in our country and in the world. You know, it's independent media that has the capacity to do reporting, balanced reporting, and really tell the truth about controversial issues. So, you know, speaking for me personally, like when the New York Times refused to cover my 993-day house arrest on a misdemeanor, where the previous longest sentence was 90 days, I was over 10 times that amount, they just ignored the story. WBAI was there. You were there. Others were there. From the independent media. So, you know, look, I think, you know, without WBAI, without the independent media more broadly, a major check on the institutions in our society that are frankly acting in corrupt fashion would not exist. And I shudder to think of the implications. I would urge everyone to support WBAI. It has to continue not only to remain on the air, but to do it in a way where it can function in an optimal way with the resources it needs to do the reporting that it does.
We're talking to Steve Donsky. I know you got places to go, and we got more videos to play. Dennis, you haven't had Steve on your show, but yeah, do you have a question for him?
Yes, thanks, Randy. Very quickly, and Mr. Donsky, I have tremendous respect. We've done a bunch on our show on Flashpoints along with Greg Powell. So we've been hitting it pretty hard. But I just want to have you – we don't have a lot of time, but again – it is such a profound thing what happened to you, as you say, the first time in history. Again, just the short version, how is it that a private law firm associated with the oil corporation that you helped indigenous communities sue gets to prosecute? How does that happen? How do you go from the public court to a private company prosecuting you, persecuting you?
Well, you know, it shouldn't have happened. It's never happened before because it's not right. And in my opinion, it's not legal. But the way the judge tried to do it, Judge Kaplan, is, you know, he charged you with contempt. Now, the contempt charge in American jurisprudence is the only place where judges are allowed to initiate a prosecution. But they're not allowed to do the prosecution. They can just do the charges. And they're required to take them to the U.S. attorney for prosecution, and the U.S. attorney usually prosecutes these cases. But looking at my case, they refused to prosecute because they saw, I'm sure, that it was not a real case. It was a politically motivated case orchestrated by Chevron and one of its sympathizers in the judiciary. So they refused, and at that point, rather than just let it drop, Judge Kaplan invoked this obscure rule. It's not even a law. It's a court rule that allows a judge to appoint a private prosecutor for a contempt case. And this does happen in rare instance, like, for example, when the U.S. attorney is conflicted. But what he did in my case is he appointed a Chevron law firm to be the private prosecutor, knowing that I was the one who had helped indigenous peoples hold Chevron accountable for the largest environmental judgment in history. So he then let them prosecute me in the name of the government as if they were the Department of Justice, but it was really a private law firm called Seward and Kissel that had Chevron as a client. And he just did it. And it's illegal. And he calculated he could get away with it because by the time I could appeal all this and catch up with what he had been doing, it would be years, which is exactly what's happened. He got away with it. I served my entire six-month term, plus 2 years and 2 months of house arrest pre-trial as a supposed flight risk, another bogus determination by Kaplan and another judge. So, you know, the game Kaplan plays is I'll do it, see if I can get away with it. By the time they catch up with me, the sentence will already be served and I'll win, whether I get reversed or not. We're still appealing it, by the way, and we're trying to right now take it before the Supreme Court. You know, this goes way beyond me. Thank you for the question. It's not just about Steve Donziger. It's about what kind of society do we want to live in? Do we want to live in a country that allows a private corporation to directly prosecute its main adversary and detain him? I don't think anyone wants that, no matter what your politics. So it's important people understand we need to keep fighting this.
All right, Steve Donziger, that was a great answer, and thank you, Dennis. We're not going to play it right yet. Dennis is Dennis. What we're gonna do here in a few minutes, we're gonna play something. I want to let you go now, Steve, because I know you're busy. I told you ten minutes.
So much,
thank
Randy,
you very much.
Congratulations on your success as a journalist. You play a very important role, and I admire you greatly. And Dennis, thanks to you too. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Steven Donziger. Now he's on the show a lot. He has been. We covered it for the last year, and here at WBAI. And that's the kind of stuff we do. Everybody else avoids it. You know, I don't know why. It's a monumental case. But I know you covered it with Greg Palast. I've heard you talk about it, Dennis. Only here at WBI, KPFA, Flashpoints in particular, covers this kind of stuff. You do it 5 days a week, Dennis. And I really admire your principles and your indefatigability, if that's a word. I'm Randy Credico, and this is Randy Credico Live on the Fly on WBAI 99.5 FM. The number, once again, is 212-209-2950. You get the two documentaries by John Pilcher, The Coming War on China. We're going to play a segment of that in just 1 minute. Disturbing the Universe, William Kuntzer by his daughter Sarah and Emily Kuntzer, and his last public appearance at Caroline's Comedy Club, which we've played here before, and if people have heard that, we may not get to that today because we only have 25, 30 minutes left here. But I want to a shout out to my buddy Bean. Bean out there. Bean is the guy who has designed all of these wonderful billboards that are set to go up in D.C. This week on a mobile truck. Thank you, Bean. You do tremendous work, and we love you for it. All right, Dennis, let's talk about John Pilcher here before we get into this. Right. You've seen The Coming War on China. How important is that film?
Well, it's amazing. Again, as always, he's prescient. He's so far ahead of the game. And he, again, in that film, he takes on a decades-long policy by the U.S. government to figure out a way to contain China because they know it's emerging. And everybody knows the difference between China and the United States, just to break it down to a phrase, is China builds roads and cities, and the United States builds bombs.
Right. And they build, we bomb. They build, we bomb.
When you build cities, it has a life of its own. It comes back. When you build bombs, you blow them up, and you build more bombs. I was amazed. I heard Biden at one of these celebrating the war in Ukraine stops, where he was proud to say that young Ukrainian parents are now naming their children after U.S. weapons systems.
And
they were celebrating. Isn't it nice? Would you name your kid after a bomb?
In other words, Ray McGovern, if he was born today in Ukraine, or maybe here, you'd call him Raytheon McGovern. Is that it?
Right.
All right. Exactly. Now, listen, Dennis, here's what we're going to do right now. I want to give the number once again, 212-209-2950. I need to hear those phones ring, folks. I really do. 212-209-2950. Or go to givetowbai.org. We've given you a lot of content today. We've done limited panhandling, shaking you down. But this is for a good cause. You just heard Steve Donziger. We were the only ones that consistently covered his story from beginning to end over the last 3 years right here at WBAI. So it is critical. If you want the show, this show, if you want the rest of the programming that you get around the clock and not rely on Brian Lehrer talking about what is better, Italian ices or something from Tasty Freeze, popsicles, then go to WNYC and the difference between crew socks, white crew socks, black, which ones are important, which ones cover the ankles. You can listen to Brian Lehrer every day from 10 to 12 instead of listening to the programming here. All right, that's what you're going to end up getting. All right, so tasty cakes or cupcakes. Now, I'll take the hostess. We're going to play this. Are we set to go? And Dennis, I have to run downstairs and put quarters in the meter. If I'm not back in time, you'll cover it after this excerpt from The Coming War on China. Here we go.
Tonight at 10, a rare glimpse of China's ambitious expansion in one of the world's most contested regions. We report from the South China Sea, where the Chinese are warning off anyone who comes too close to their building program.
We continue our look this morning at what China does not want you to see. The United States says the superpower is reclaiming land in the South China Sea.
The fact that we're dealing with a situation right now where we, the U.S., has to be much more aggressive in dealing with the Chinese government.
CNN has learned that the U.S. Navy is about to send a destroyer there. Let's go to our CNN chief.
CNN got exclusive access to classified U.S. surveillance flights over the islands.
The threat of China is becoming big news. The media is beating the drums of war, as the world is being primed to regard China as a new enemy.
China's alarming creation of entirely new territory in the South China Sea is one part of a broader military push that some fear is to challenge U.S. dominance in the region.
China is building airstrips in the South China Sea on disputed islands condemned by an international tribunal. This is now a flashpoint for war between China and America. What is not news is that China itself is under threat. These American bases form a giant noose encircling China with missiles, bombers, warships, all the way from Australia through the Pacific to Asia and beyond.
I mean, if you were in Beijing looking out, you stood on the tallest building in Beijing and looked out at the Pacific Ocean, you'd see American warships. You'd see Guam is about to sink because there's so many missiles pointed at China. You'd look up at Korea and see American armaments pointing at China. You'd see Japan, which is basically Japan's a glove over the American fist. I think if I was Chinese, I'd have a little to worry about American aggressiveness.
And we have China surrounded, and we're doing more all the time to try and keep it surrounded and deepen that containment of China. But China presents a fascinating case of a country that is independent, doesn't have foreign bases on its territory, growing very rapidly, not as rapidly now as it did for 30 years, but still the second-ranking economy in the world.
We have an adversary, and that adversary is China. And that adversary, unless there is dramatic reform inside China, will be our enemy someday.
One myth, I think really that needs to be dispelled, is that somehow China's aiming to replace America and going to run the world. It's not. Well, first of all, the Chinese are not that stupid. The West, with its Christian roots, are about converting other people into their beliefs. The Chinese are not about that. It's just the I'm not degrading the Western culture. I'm just pointing out the inherent nature, the DNAs of two different cultures. The Chinese 2,000 years ago built the Great Wall to keep the barbarians out, not to invade them.
As the world's economic power moves rapidly to Asia, the response of the United States is to deploy the majority of its naval forces to Asia and the Pacific. This massive military buildup is known in Washington as the pivot to Asia. The target is China. The great power game in the 21st century is called perpetual war. For America's unchallenged arms industry, the annual prize is huge profits from almost $600 billion of military spending.
Once an imaginary weapon on Star Wars, the electromagnetic gun is now reality.
You're sitting here thinking about these next generation and futuristic ideas, and we've got scientists who have designed these, and it's coming to life.
And the smartest weapons need enemies.
As a Pacific nation, the United States will play a larger and long-term role in shaping this region and its future. I have directed my national security team to make our presence and mission in the Asia Pacific a top priority.
In one sense, is the U.S. already at war with China?
Yes, on the ground and in the air. The winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, President Barack Obama, has committed to trillions of dollars to our nuclear arsenal. He's committing trillions of future dollars to war in space. And we need an enemy for all this money, and China's the perfect enemy.
All right, that was from the documentary, The Coming War on China, by the incredible, indefatigable, the brilliant journalist, war correspondent, filmmaker, author, columnist. I mean, he's done everything. John Pilger. Dennis, go ahead. You've had John Pilger on your show more times than I have, and I've had him on a lot. He's like always gold.
He's always prescient, too. In his film, The Coming War on China, you could hear it. It was so clear addressing that pivot, that Pacific pivot, that security ring around China to control China. And it is, we can see China bashing. You talk about, everybody loves bipartisan. Well, let me tell you, when it comes to bashing China, it's bipartisan. And it's ignorance. If for instance, people understood, compare, say, the forward fighting bases that the United States has in foreign countries compared to what China's outreach is, or the relationship of the U.S. military budget to China. It totally is not even in the same ballpark. But the illusion is, as you look at it today and yesterday and tomorrow, China's dangerous. China's surrounding everything. China's going after Nancy Pelosi. Now, who the hell? Why did Nancy Pelosi go where she went when she went when we're already in the middle of another war? It's outrageous, but you know, it works for the defense contractors. They are doing well. We stand against that. This radio network was founded by people who stood against war. Stand up now and lock arms with the people who had a vision for free speech radio.
Right.
212-209-2950. Really, folks, this issue of China, my partner is Asian American. And I can tell you that she now faces, she's afraid to go out sometimes. We found a note on her car that, you know, I can't repeat what the note said, but it was a racist threat. Again, somebody had obviously seen her park her car and decided they didn't want a Japanese American person in their neighborhood. But that's what the bipartisan vision for war against China is causing in this country. Trump hit China, hated China, and so does Biden. The U.S. government, now every stenographer for the U.S. government on MSNBC is a cheerleader for war in China and Ukraine. It's unbelievable. That's where we come in. Again, Free Speech, Truth to Power, Peace Network.
All right.
Solutions through talking. 212-209-2950. Can you hear me?
Yes, 212-209-2950. Listen to Dennis. Dennis at KPFA does a show 5 days a week. He's one of the top fundraisers. Everyone, you know, I've done your show many times, and it's so great to have your voice here because you can feel the passion, your awareness of how grave the situation would be if, in fact, we're off the boards here, Dennis. I mean, you know. I mean, you know, you and I have the same views. We watch this stuff. You get sick. I've done Ari Melber's show a couple of times, and he was just using it basically to smear Russia. That's first. We got Russia and China. We didn't even have time. We're not going to have time. We're going to have to do this again and talk about Ukraine and this comic or rodeo clown Zelensky. Right. He's a rodeo clown Zelensky. Yeah, everyone thinks he's the Grand Rebbe. You know what I mean? He's it's just unbelievable. This guy. We don't have time to talk about that one. We're talking about China because it was this week, and I want to talk about Ukraine, but we got to raise money today.
Right.
I mean, because the gaslighting on Ukraine is so bad. The fear mongering, I had Steve Kinzer on last week, is so intense. We live in a state of hysteria. You know, it's like if I were to drink, I wouldn't be able to find a glass of Stoli anywhere, which I used to drink. You know what I mean? It's so bad. And like I said, everybody from top to bottom that's in the media has been a part of this. Every politician. I heard Bill de Blasio talking about it the other day. Then he dropped out of the race. He was wearing like a yellow and blue racing outfit, you know, out there jogging through Central Park, trying to get votes and pushing this war.
There's your progressive ex-mayor. All right, so we're going to play another. This is the Marshall Islands segment from the coming war on China. Then you and I are going to come back and really hit hard, Dennis, the last 10, 12 minutes, and we'll go out with Military Madness by Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But first, here's another segment, Dennis. This is from John Pilger's must-see documentary called The Coming War on China.
The Marshall Islands lie in the vast Pacific Ocean between the United States and Asia. Captured from the Japanese in World War II, they've long been America's strategic secret, its stepping stone to Asia and China. People here sustain themselves for thousands of years with abundant fish, breadfruit, and coconuts. They were skilled navigators who sailed by the stars. Westerners might call this paradise. All that changed in 1946 when the United States took over the Marshall Islands as a trust territory with an obligation to protect the health and well-being of the people. A nightmare began. The islands were turned into a laboratory for the testing of nuclear weapons and the people into guinea pigs.
Crossroads, scene 24, take two.
In this propaganda film, the Bikini Islanders are being deceived. Unknown to them, plans were already underway to destroy their paradise forever.
Will you ask King Judah that the United States government now wants to attempt to turn this great destructive force into something good for mankind, and that these experiments here at Bikini are the first step in that direction? Tell him that's fine. Everything being in God's hands, it must be good.
Eighty-seven ships take positions 3 miles off Bikini to suffer the shattering impact of the fifth atomic bomb. Here will be
an armada of warships was assembled in Bikini Lagoon in order to blow them to bits.
The decks of the 73 test ships anchored in Bikini Lagoon are scenes of feverish activity as scientists plot experimental programs designed to furnish data on blast effects of the mighty atom bomb. Animals of many
animals kinds were strapped to their decks like a perverse Noah's Ark. The experiment was to see how they died, how they burned.
Special ointments are applied to determine their protective quality. Other parts of the exposed areas being left bare to the atom blast.
3, 2, 1,
born in Rane, iangan merik pulu prora green yellow
ido tereo ilo menako ijo terangan impen rutoro rar kakai riri im chang im ketire ilo lo lo an mo
ilo tupungunin nga parte ako tayo rin kamdiyang arti ito pantro na mlaro niya kaya inigyan ko kamdiyang ilam na ibulin ko rapartuan para paano naning kakil tiyaro niya kaya naning kakil enangan eno din.
Being on Bikini today is disturbing ghosts. I struggle through the jungle to the bunker where they press the button at 6:45 on the morning of the H-bomb test. Now claimed by the undergrowth, it's like a subterranean temple to modern times. They drank milkmaid powdered milk, smoked Lucky Strike cigarettes, and later this sign was erected that's beyond irony. It says, please leave this property as you find it. Thank you for your kindness and understanding.
The mamsels give their all for their art, and you can just bet that audience is giving with the wolf calls.
The Bikini. Named after the atomic explosion in the Pacific.
All right. All right. That's all we have time to play today of that. We only have 10 minutes left here, and we have business. That's from John Pilger's amazing documentary, tremendous piece of work. It's a tour de force. It's called The Coming War on China. It's part of a three-package premium that we have here today of DVDs. Not CDs. I may have said CDs. They're the DVDs, all right? And one of them is The Coming War on China. The other two are Kunstler at Caroline's, his last public appearance, and the documentary masterpiece by his two daughters, Emily and Sarah Kunstler. And that wrapped into one, folks, shipped out in the coming days for a $100 donation to this station, WBAI, and the number to call to get the Kunstler Pilger special. That's the Kunstler Pilger special is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And if you don't remember that number, then remember, go to give the number 2WBAI.org. Also on the table today, we still have a lot of copies because Orr Books and Verso sent them to us. The Assange reader, very important. He's in the doctors just said, gave him a report physically, very grim. These are prison doctors said, very grim. So we know that they are planning to finish him off in prison unless we are out there on the streets, on the air here at WBAI, telling people where to go for demonstrations and for vigils and other direct action. You have a voice right here that can lead you there. So you're not going to get it on any other station. They're not even covering the Assange case, except for you have to go to Berkeley or go to KPFA.org at 8 o'clock Eastern time and listen to Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, who for 2 years when I was I took a hiatus from this station, Dennis picked it up for the following 2 years. And I appreciate that, Dennis. We got the last interview with not just Julian, but his spouse, his wife, Stella Assange, and we're not going to be able to play that today because we just don't. Things got, you know, it went by quickly. Dennis, getting back to that coming war on China and the pastiche on the Marshall Islands. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm remembering Anthony Garusko, who was the head of the Atomic Veterans Against Nuclear War, who talked about how the veterans and the Marshall Islanders were the guinea pig laid on the altar of the nuclear century. They were the
They were the guinea pigs. We are the guinea pigs. And I remember doing a whole bunch of reporting around the downwinders in this country who were exposed to these nuclear weapons. And I think the most amazing thing is I was interviewing a family, and one of the members was blind. And this blind man told me that the only thing that he ever saw in his life was what he called the second sunrise, which he saw some light after one of these above-ground explosions. Anyway, so we were willing to turn this kind of killer material on our own people, as well as the Marshall Islanders. John Pilcher made a very significant film. It is so important now. I want to make this suggestion. If you've got a little extra money, you could hit these numbers, 212-209-2950. Why don't you, if maybe you can spare 500 or 1,000, you can get 5 or 10 copies of these tapes and make them available to the local library or in school settings, maybe your kids or your relatives, your cousins, your nephews. Get extra copies, because information is power. That's the message from WBAI. Information is power. It's a mighty powerful signal, and we need your help to keep it going. So here I go, Randy.
Well, it's okay, Dennis. We got 7.5 minutes. I want you to continue. We're going to have Reggie jump in here as well, because he's
number.
Been.
Say the number.
The 212. You tell it, Reggie. What's that number, Reggie? And how do people get that
all right,
premium?
Since you insist, okay. It's 212-209-2950 is the number. But also, they can, if those people who are listening online that are streaming this radio program as we speak, they can also go online to give2wbai.org. That's give the number 2wbai.org. However you do it and how often you do it, just like what both Dennis and Randy have said, it is so important to support this radio station. And I wouldn't really think that the combination of what the coming war of China that John Pilger have done, and I saw the documentary too, and I thought it was brilliant and it was prophetic, and it seems like we are in the beginning stages for yet another skirmish. And why can't we delegate for peace rather than for war? I mean, for the many times. And just like with William Kunstler before, talking about what was the byproduct of the Chicago 8? It was because of the Vietnam War. What was the byproduct of Attica? It's because of the police state and just the mistreatment of individuals who are incarcerated. And how we incarcerate people and so-called rehabilitate individuals it just shows that there has to be a plan inequality of how this country operates. And going into the very beginning of this documentary with the war, the coming war of China, it was just showing the Marshall Islands when they was testing for these bombs, and this perverse display of pride when they were showing these farm animals. They were showing these farm animals on these ships, shaving off their fur, putting salve over them, and they wanted to see how they die.
Wow.
They wanted to see how these things die. If anything that tells me, it shows me that American exceptionalism is a mental illness. That's all I see.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dennis. We have four. I want you to swing the bat the next 3 minutes. Okay. Go ahead and put it in your hands. Hit a grand slam here.
Yeah. The remnants of nuclear weaponry. Remember, as we go to you, Chernobyl is in the middle of that conflict. Every nuclear reactor is waiting to be a nuclear bomb. There is so much that we need to understand. that we get from somebody like John Pilger. I really am hoping, Randy, that we can get people from every borough to give at every level. If you got 10, come up with it. The number is 212-209-2950. If you've got 100, come, you can get a copy of this marvelous premium with this prescient Pilger film that you want to see, that you need to have. If you can give us $1,000, get 10 copies of the premium and make them available to the community, because the information that we all share here on WBAI doesn't usually get out, and we need your help to get it out. So here's the number, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Make a difference.
Right.
And for Free Speech Radio, talk about this with your families, with your kids. Explain the difference between corporate media and no-holds-barred free speech. Explain to your kids that when you watch corporate media, they sell you things that you often don't need. Sometimes these things can kill you. Free Speech Radio, what's the premium? What do we sell? Information. Who are our producers? You, the listener. Please stand up now. Where did I hear about the Chicago trial? After midnight on WBAI, when William Kunstler and Abby Hoffman
and Jerry Rubin and Tom Hayden and Bobby Seale,
all of them called in at night. So by the time morning came, all the listeners of WBAI knew 10 times more that was in the New York Times, and we had the truth from the horse's mouth. Come on, folks. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And we thank the late Bob Bass for opening up those channels to the Chicago victims of that, of the illegal criminal injustice system. 212-209-2950. I hope people can still hear me.
I can hear you clearly, and I hope people out there can hear Dennis clearly. You say it better than I do, Dennis. We got another minute, and so I'm going to give you the last. It's the Kunstler Pilger special. That's $100 donation at 212-209-2950, or the Assange reader is $75 at 212-209-2950, or just as Dennis said, make a $1,000 donation. If you have $100,000 in the bank, what are you saving it for? You're saving it for a police state? I mean, that's what they did in Germany. They thought they're going to survive after Hitler got in, and they saved their money. Well, it was all taken away from them, and they didn't get any radio except for what Goebbels put on. So let's, Dennis, you got 35 more seconds. Make that last hard sell for us.
The last hard sell is 212-209-2950. Stand up, make a difference, make love to the First Amendment, lock arms with the people. This is your Truth to Power, No Holds Barred, Truth to Power Network. Did I say
like
that twice?
I like that. Yes, I'm going to write that down. It's like, what's his name said? Milton Berle said, I like that joke. I wish I had said it, and I will. All right, so I'm going to definitely I'm going to vampire that from you. Dennis Bernstein, I'll call you up after the show. We're going to play Go Out. This is Randy Critical, Randy Critical Live on the Fly here on WBAI with Reggie Johnson, the crack engineer here at W, hardworking, really tireless, and he does it, man. Thank you so much to you, Dennis, and Steve Donziger, and to you, Reggie, and to you, Sophia, for not. Here's Crosby, Tills, and Nash. Maybe see you next Friday. See ya.
Right. And hopefully you do what was said here during the past 2 hours by Randy Credico, Dennis Bernstein of, you know, and